الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لن ينال الله لحومها ولا دماؤها ولكن يناله التقوى منكم. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله، والله أكبر، الله أكبر، ولله الحمد. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله الكريم، وعلى ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله. Out of the love and mercy and graciousness and kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, once again we are able to meet. Once again we are able to congregate. Once again we are able to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala together. As we know from the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when a people gather for the sake of Allah, when the people gather to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only are their sins forgiven, but they also have their position increased in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So while we are here, our position every moment is increasing. And as that position is increasing, we have to ask ourselves, why is it when we leave from this place, we go back to our old ways? Why is it when we leave this place, we go back to doing things that we are not supposed to do? When Allah has blessed us by being here and increasing our position and making us close to Him. My brothers and sisters in Islam, no one comes here just because they want to come here. They come here because it is the house of Allah, and Allah is inviting them to come here. So if Allah invites you to a place, that means you have done, inshallah, hopefully something that makes you worthy of being in this given place. My brothers and sisters in Islam, let me share something that you and I both know. Something that is obvious and very, very clear. When a person takes Allah for granted, I've seen it in my life and you have seen it in your life. I've seen the most brilliant of people in my life, when they had taken their careers for granted. One was a doctor. I remember this fellow was a genius in his field, but he prided himself by making fun of other people. There came a time when he ended up selling bicycle parts. Imagine a doctor selling bicycle parts. How come? Because he was good in his field. Rather than becoming a helping hand to humanity, nobody tells me what to do. In my class, I was like that. In my days, I was like that. I know of scholars. I know of people that even memorized the Quran. They knew the Quran like water. They knew the Quran like water. They could read from places in the Quran faster than you can come up with it on your keyboard. But they took it for granted. They took it as, I was the best, I became the best, nobody tells me what to do. This mentality of ours has to change. As I spoke in the previous khutbah, our youth are going through a tremendous amount of challenge. You know, we're talking about the youth. I haven't seen this anywhere else in the world, except in America. You give them something to eat, right? You give them something to eat, and they put it in their mouth and they go, yuck. That's all they go, yuck. Okay, one is yuck. And then they take it and they literally throw it away in front of you. You know, I go to many schools, and sometimes I go to the cafeteria. Young ones will take a bite of something. They just take a bite and they go, gross. Like as if now revelation came to them. The way they say it with such conviction and yaqeen, they go, gross. Like as if, you know, something najis went in the mouth. And they just throw away burgers, throw away pizza. And parents cannot even tell their children not to throw away things. If, for example, one brother is telling another brother, eat the food up, what the other brother will say? Don't tell me what to do. And the mother will, if the mother likes one child more than the other, yes, that's my baby, you don't tell him what to do. That baby of yours is wasting food. Allah in the Quran says, Inna Allah la yuhibbul musrifeen. Allah does not like the one that wastes. And the mother is promoting the one that wastes. Why? Because the son that she likes has more fair skin than the other son that is yelling that has dark skin. Is that a logic? So my brothers and sisters, Allah is bringing you here to the masjid for a reason. Because Allah wants a transformation in your life. The question is, do you want that transformation? I'm afraid to say, you know, I tell our students this all the time and they get bored of it. Tell me a man that has moved a mountain and I'll say you are speaking the truth. But tell me a man who has changed his behavior and I'll tell you are a liar. Why? Behaviors are hard to break. But that's what we have to work on. People that work out, people that are master athletes, people that have great or good health. Yes, all this is from Allah. But you notice they have one good habit. People that are very financially successful, people that are very highly educated. You can see how educated I am, huh? But anyway, people that are very up there, they have one pattern. One pattern. It's not rocket science. The pattern is the following. And the hadith brings mention to it. It's a pattern of consistency. It's a pattern of consistency. My teacher used to always say, give me a dumb student that is consistent and he will outdo a smart student that is not consistent. And history bears testimony to that. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, you are here for one purpose, not just to sit and go away. You are here for one purpose, to create a change in your life. And this is what Ibrahim alayhi salam had done. When he was young, he saw idols. When he was young, he saw idols. What did he do with those idols? He removed them from his life. My brothers and sisters in Islam, every one of us has an idol in front of us. For some it is a male, for some it is a female, for some it is athletics, for some it is, I mean, I shouldn't say athletics because the last time I checked, nobody from Utah made it in any of the major games, so I'm sorry to bring that up. But suffice to say, we have something in front of us that is restricting us from attaining our full potential. That's all it is. Number one, understand what I'm going to say. We all have something that is restricting us from going to the next level. And the second thing is, that thing that is restricting us from going to the next level is that very thing that we are trying to make perfect. It's a very important point. For some people, it may be a woman. Now you know, it's not good for you to be in that relationship. She is messing around, something is happening, you know it. But you want to get back to that first feeling when you wooed her off the ground. My friends, that once you wooed a person, it's gone. The feeling is over, it's not going to come back. Why are people addicted to drugs? Do you know why? Because they want that first feeling back. And they go from one drug to the next. And that feeling never comes back, it only makes it worse. Why are people in the current situation they are? It's very, very simple. Because they're trying to perfect what cannot be perfected. And I hate to give you a bad example. Let's say you had a beautiful meal, wonderful meal. You know, one guy, he says it very beautifully. He says, Imam, the food, mwah! He goes like that. I got a shock, I thought he's kissing me. I said, hey, take it easy. He says, no, no, no. In my culture, when you like something, you go, mwah. Okay, wonderful. Now, assuming that mwah meal that you ate, it came out of your mouth. Assuming it came out of your mouth. And you want to try and put it back together, piece it up and put it back in your mouth, you'll never do that. And that is what you and I are chasing. Chasing things that are broken, things that are busted, things that have no value, and we are running behind it. Why am I telling you about this? Because Ibrahim alayhi salam, that's exactly what he changed. Things that were deviating him from Allah, not him, his community from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He tried to remove that and get them. That's why, my brothers, what is the thing the brother was reading so beautifully? He was reading, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. Why was he reading that? Because he has a beautiful voice? Alhamdulillah. But it's not about a beautiful voice or anything. It's about, who is my Allah? Who is my creator? What model is your car? You know it. When is the next oil change? You know it. How much money you made in the last 3 years based on your taxes? You know it. How much money you have under the mattress or above the mattress, meaning in the ceiling? You know it. But do you know who your Allah is? Do you know who your Allah is? Yeah, I know who my Allah is. Who is Allah? Allah is very kind. I speak to people, huh? Especially when they're doing bad things. Who is Allah? Allah is very kind. And they shake their hand and they have the hand motion and they convince you. But don't look at the hand motion of the person and the head shaking. Look at that individual's life, and we have to look at our lives. Who is Allah? Allah is our creator. Allah is our sustainer. Allah is our Malik. Allah is our Razik. Allah is what we know, and Allah is also what we cannot comprehend and we don't know. Once you realize the beauty and greatness of Allah, when you say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, you are saying nothing must come in my life except what my Creator loves and expects of me. And what does your Creator and my Creator expect of us? Morality, character, dignity, honesty, loyalty, faithfulness, doing good things, helping others to do good things. Yes, my brothers, I know what you're thinking. Well, I know this about the Imam and I know this about so and so. Why is he saying this? My brother and sister, let me tell you one thing, which is no secret. You go in your grave and I go in my grave. I go alone in my cloth and you go alone in your cloth. That's it. Your Versace and all those things are taken out. It's you and your cloth and your a'mal. That's all you go with in your grave. Your a'mal, your deeds. A'malun salih, amalun salih. Nothing else. So my brothers, this is what Allahu Akbar means. It means I'm going to focus and rechannel my life to what my Allah expects of me. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. There is none worthy of worship except that one Allah who is the greatest. This is what Ibrahim alayhi salam came to preach. And because he was sincere in this, Allah calls him an ummah in the Quran. Inna Ibrahima kana ummah qanitan lillahi hanifa wa lam yakun minal mushrikeen. Imagine being an ummah. You know what an ummah means? It means you are an embodiment of good of every type. Different tafsir have different meaning. One of them is, for Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was a legend beyond legend. He was a man of his time. He was legendary in his time. He knew how to deal with the king. He knew how to deal with the beggar. He knew how to deal with his wife and have a good healthy relationship with them. He knew how to deal with his children. He even knew at what point to sort of say goodbye to one of his wives, because he realized her character was not one of par excellence. What does Allah teach us here? Allah is saying to you and I, be very observant and vigilant in the type of spouse you have. Why? Because that spouse inshallah, will produce a child. And that child must be like the Ismail alayhi salam. How can you produce an Ismail alayhi salam when you are hanging around with a person that is, for the most part, scandalously dressed, or hang around with a male that does not take pride in wearing attire as defined in the ayah, وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَٰلِكَ خَيْرٌ. My brothers and sisters, this is something to think about. Allah has given you and I a chance. That's why we are here today. We have to reflect on these things and these simple ayah. Because it is through reflecting on the simple ayah that our complexity of life can be gradually put aside in exchange of attaining that which is good. I'm being told to tell the folks to come forward, so please come forward a little bit. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, by the choice of his spouse, produced an Ismail alayhi salam that was so magnificent that when Allah gave the command in the dream that, O Ibrahim, go and sacrifice what is beloved to you. And this is where your greatness comes into existence. You have to sacrifice that which is worldly in nature to gain the closeness to Allah. It's a relationship. If you want dunya and you go this way, then akhirah goes that way. And if you want Allah in your life, then dunya has to go down. They both cannot be in the same vessel as mentioned in the ahadith. Iman and kufr cannot be in the same vessel in the believer. Haq and batil cannot be together. It just cannot. It doesn't work. It may work for a short time and you're getting the idea that it's working in your head, but once it continues and that pattern becomes a trend, that's it. That's it. It's going to catch up with you. And Ismail alayhi salam, to produce an Ismail alayhi salam requires a good parent. That is why when Ismail alayhi salam was put down for sacrifice, what did he say? He said, "Oh my father, I understand it may not be easy. I understand it is difficult. I understand it is challenging. Oh my father, cover your eyes." There are different aqwa, different riwayah, different things that have been said in the books. One of them is the fact that, cover your eyes, so that way you don't have to see my face. You don't have to see my face and do what Allah has commanded you to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved this act so much, that from the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam to us, and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam becoming and being part of the millah of Ibrahim alayhi salam, continued with this practice of sacrificing of the animal. In the khutbah we will read, where the hadith says, "Qala sufu ya Rasulullah, what about the wool? What about the wool?" You know the wool. Today we like to wear jackets made out of wool. Makes us feel nice. You go and pay extra because it has cashmere in it. Wonderful. But did you ever think what you are wearing? Did you ever think what it is part of? You can't be in ghafla, my friends. You can't be in ghafla. You have to be aware what you are wearing, what your embodiment is, how you are dressing, how you present yourself. This is what Iman is all about. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, forget about just the wool, forget about just the wool and everything and every part of the animal, even its nails, its hooves, For every aspect of that animal, you will be given a reward. In other words, your sins, if the animal has, that you cut, has a lot of wool, that many sins will be washed away, inshallah, number one. Number two, your position also gets closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But many of us have other priorities. Some of them being, why should I cut an animal? Why should I sacrifice? Why should I do this? Now there is a debate out there. You mustn't cut an animal, you must give the money to a poor person. Have you ever heard of this? And some people say, you don't even need to give the money to a poor person. One guy said, Sheikh, we should all take the money together and invest it in the stock market and then build masjids with it. I looked at this guy and I said, this guy is gone off his head. I mean, what are we going to do with our religion? How much of religion are we going to change? And let me tell you one thing. ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا إلى آخر الآية. The more you're going to change, the more you're going to change, the more you're going to be tested. The more you're going to be tested, chances are great, the more tests you're going to fail. And the more tests you're going to fail, my brothers, is going to affect your iman and affect your future. Therefore, grasp, and get hold of this deen before it goes through your fingers. You know, it comes in the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ, hold on to the deen with your nawajis. What's nawajis? You see these canines over here? It says, hold on to it like that. Because my brothers and sisters, if you're not going to grab to the basics of salah, to the basics of zakah, to the basics of hajj, to the basics of sacrificing an animal, to the basics of helping the poor, to the basics of helping the various masajids, to the basics of helping the children, اِقْرَأْ بِسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقْ, to the basics of helping them learn and understand and educate, then I'm afraid, my brothers and sisters, we're going to hurt ourselves, hurt our present, and hurt our future as well. So inshallah, we will conclude with the following. Where is Dr. Saab, inshallah? Okay, before he comes forward, I'm also being told by Brother Osman, please come forward. Please come forward, okay, inshallah. So inshallah, Dr. Saab will make a few points also regarding Ibrahim alayhi salam. And one thing I will give you is the following. That as he mentions the name of Ibrahim alayhi salam, I just want one thought to go to your mind, and that is the following. What can I do to make my life like his life? We have probably, I'm being told to tell you to come in, that means I'm looking at about probably 700 to 800 people here. If 800 people, each one just takes one, inshallah, great habit of his and incorporates it in their life, rest assured, inshallah, we can not only change ourselves and our community, but inshallah, the nation at large. May Allah help us, guide us, and bless us, inshallah. Inshallah, it will be a small announcement.